Welcome. We are your hosts for Bitches Be Brave. This is Heather Hobbs.
And this is Bev Steele.
And together, we are everyday working women trying to raise a family, succeed at our careers, stay fit and healthy, and still look hot. It's our hope to address the issues that we deal with every day and to bring you the knowledge and information from the top experts so that together we can truly thrive and experience wellness in all dimensions of life.
And because we care, please remember the thoughts, comments, and advice of this podcast and our guests do not substitute medical advice, and you should consult your doctor before starting any new program. And we'd love to hear from you. Please email us at bitchesbebrave@bitchesbebrave.com or visit our website, bitchesbebrave.com, or Instagram at bitchesbebrave. Hi, Heather.
Hello. Welcome.
Episode 36. Hi. Can you believe it?
Oh, we say that every time, though.
I know. I feel like I haven't seen you in so long because you've been traveling this whole week.
It's been a rough week. Well, I came off of, I think, you know, not traveling for 3 or 4 weeks. And so I think it was especially rough kind of getting back into the swing of things again.
Re-entry can be difficult.
It was definitely difficult.
For more ways than one. Which is why today's episode probably is super timely.
I think so. I will be honest, I think today's interview, today we interviewed Janine Finney and Lori Muirhead, and they talk about their sassy myth-busting book that talks about the controversial area of network marketing. And it wasn't really like the conversation, and I found them just so much more than I had expected going into it. So I knew we were going to be talking about this topic, which I thought was very applicable because of our listeners. And I think there's so many people out there that are always looking for something else, right? Like a side hustle or something that's going to bring them money or bring them, you know, a different avenue of revenue. And there's always a lot of questions around network marketing, but gosh, their message and just how they approach this whole business, and they're just super motivating. I found it such a fun, refreshing conversation with them.
And there's so many good stories here. I think that not only from the perspective of our listeners and what they want to do following their passion, but the story of a mother and a daughter, and not, you know, we want our, maybe to put our kids in a box, but their passion may be something different. And corporate America is not a one size fits all. It's just not. And if you are being led by your heart, you know, you hope that the people around you can support you.
Well, what I love about them is that it's not even about the business. It's not about any specific business. It's about saying, what's your passion? What do you feel compelled to do? What feels right in your heart? What is crystal clear and what brings you happiness and drives you? And so that was what I think was just so inspiring. I came off of that and we stopped the interview and I just went, God, like it just makes you question and say, am I doing what I love? Right? Am I passionate? Am I following my heart and my soul? And I think that's the inspiration here.
So be brave and let us know what you think.
Here we go.
We
are here today with Janine Finney and Lori Muirhead, who are the mother and daughter co-authors of two books, The Flip Flop CEO and Does the Shoe Fit? And they will probably tell you that they are two of the people that had zero desire and thought that they would ever write a book. Prior to network marketing, Janine, the mom, worked in corporate America in various business development positions for over 30 years. And Lori graduated from the University of Arizona with a degree in marketing, communications, and Spanish. After college, Lori quickly discovered that she was not cut out for the traditional 9-to-5 world. And in her quest for financial and time freedom, Lori discovered network marketing. And together, they are here to talk and set the record straight about what network marketing is and is not. And we're so excited to talk to you both today and to have you on to talk about this topic that I think everybody at some point has probably been accustomed to and had, you know, had it come up in their lives. And so how did you get to where you are, and how did it lead to a book, two books?
Great question. I'll start because I think it started with me, even though she's the mom, so it really started with her. But I had just graduated from college and thinking that really my life is going to be fun and flexible and free and make some money and all that good stuff. I immediately went to work and I think, honestly, I think it was day one of my job. I was working at a local news station, and I could not believe that this is what I was so excited to start, what I was so excited to graduate from college and begin my life with, because I noticed that there was absolutely no freedom whatsoever. And maybe I was just super naive and had just this, you know, rose-colored picture of what my life was going to look like. But right away, I just felt kind of devastated that I had worked kind of so hard and had so many dreams of what my life was going to look like. And as a 22-year-old, it like stopped instantly. And I realized, okay, this is a whole different way of living. And I just could not see where the freedom and the fun was going to come from. And I definitely was not seeing a lot of money at that point. So I was kind of disappointed, to say the least, in what the real world looked like. So I immediately shared my thoughts with everyone around me, because I just thought, do you guys get this? Do you see this? So I realized that maybe I just was not a good fit for corporate America, because I quit that job, went into another job, quit that job, went into another job. And I was realizing that the problem was me, not the jobs. Because they all were great, according to you.
They were great. They were great jobs.
They offered the freedom that I was looking for. And in my life, I've realized that that's really key for me. So, yeah, so I came home after the third job, and I had discovered this concept of network marketing. And I had never heard of network marketing, but I did know my degree was in marketing. So I thought, how did I not know about this? This is brilliant. And I'm highly qualified, right? I have a degree in it. So I came home, told my mom, you've got to look at this. Like, I'm sure you've never in your life heard of this, because why wouldn't you have told me? So I was so excited. I thought, this is how we're going to work together. This is how we're going to do the rest of our lives. And immediately her reaction was
over my dead body. I wanted nothing to do with it, and I wanted to protect Lori from it. I mean, I thought I had had an experience over 30 years ago where somebody tried to recruit me into a company. They did it in the bait and switch way. I was invited over for dinner, and I got there, and there were all these cars parked outside. I was thinking that I was the only guest, and I went in, and there was a chart with drawings on it, and I was just really, really upset. And I was so turned off by the way that it was presented, that basically the bait and switch, you know, where somebody doesn't tell you what you're getting into. And it just made me feel like there is no way that I'm ever getting near this. And so when Lori was so excited about it, I wanted to, I thought she was very naive. I wanted to protect her from these terrible people. Don't go near that. And so we really battled for a year, because she had products that she was representing. I would not touch them. I thought they were inferior products. I was not going to put them on my body. And it just was really a hard time for us, because in the past, I'd always encouraged Lori. I mean, I was just like, you can do anything you want to. And, you know, just it was, and she did not. Right.
And so I thought she was crazy, and at the exact same time, she thought I was crazy. So we both just could not see eye to eye on the same subject.
And, you know, then what happens is Lori's trying to get the person that sponsored her to talk to me, and I'm like, oh, of course they're going to talk to me, because they want me to get involved in this, and they're going to be sitting on the top while I'm doing all the work. And, you know, I had such a different perception of network marketing than I did after I really did my due diligence and took a closer look. So it was a battle, but now I've gone from being the biggest skeptic on the planet to being just the biggest cheerleader for this profession, because I think there's so many people that are searching for what it is, but because of the stigma, they don't recognize it.
There are so many ways I can go right now with what you both just said, just the whole mother-daughter dynamic. Yeah. I'm mother of three daughters, and allowing your child to do what she needs, but then saying, I've got to save her at the same time. Fly, but I'm going to hold you. But what really changed? Now, I know that you said you did the due diligence. Was it Lori waving the money she was making? Was it the product? Where did it change for you?
I'm so glad you asked the question that way. It was not the money she was making.
I was not a good example. I was floundering, but hey, I will say I was crystal clear that I was doing this.
Right.
There was nothing that was going to talk me out of it or convince me otherwise. I knew this was brilliant. I knew I had found something. I typically lead with my gut and my heart, and it was absolutely a yes. And so when it's a yes for me, just good luck trying to get me to do something different. But I still was not a good example at all. It's so many ways. I feel like that's a whole nother call on all the things I did wrong. But here she is, because I really do feel like you can't say the wrong thing to the right person. Yes, it took a year for us to battle. But really it was at that moment, I feel like it was the right time for her. And so there was a book that I had given her. It was nothing I could say. Like, we could not physically have any conversation around it and have clarity, walk away with clarity. And I think that's, again, why a book is so great as a tool, because it takes all the dynamics of your relationship out of it. It just is so black and white. And so I think when I had handed her a book, ironically, it was her chance to like see it without seeing me. And I think that was huge.
Well, and my version of that story is that we were on the airplane ride and we were coming back, and Lori had fallen asleep and she had this book in her lap. And I was desperate for something to read, and it was this little book. And so I picked it up.
That I brought with me. So it wasn't just a random, like, how did this book land in my lap? I brought it with me.
Yes. And so when I read it, it was, it's actually a pretty cheesy book, but the message in it was profound. And it was just like a light switch. It totally changed my perception of this business, how it's done and what it's about. And I had just before seen that example that I had, where I was, invited over to somebody's house, and it was like a numbers game, and it was just this rah-rah, all these things that I hated. And this book really showed me that it can be quality rather than, than quantity. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be, a numbers game and you just invite 1,000 people and 2 are going to stick kind of thing.
And who cares if you burn all these bridges? Yeah. I mean, that is really the perception, is that you just kind of blow through people and you don't really stop to be very intentional about who you're picking and why. And ultimately it's their decision, but it's more of a relationship than it can look like.
It turned all of my beliefs upside down. So it was, so instantly Lori woke up and I'm like, oh my gosh, Lori, I think I was born to do this business.
Oh my gosh.
So after a year, like literally 14 months of battling, we could not see eye to eye. I hand her a book and not kidding, 20 minutes later, she's like waking me up. I can do this and I'm gonna do this. And I was like, what?
Well, and in the beginning, it was really, again, it was that mother bear thing. I was doing it really for Lori, because Lori had saw the vision, but really wasn't sure exactly how to implement it. And a lot of rejection, from her sorority sisters, from everybody in her life. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're gonna show people that this works. And so it was really, that was really kind of the way it started out.
So I think what's amazing is your book. So I actually was given your book so years ago, because I have been part of a few, I'll admit, right? A few along the way, MLMs, and kind of in the same boat. I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be one of those people that's making it big. And, and it is, it's a really tough work. But what I love about the books that you have, and I kind of want to know how you got to that point, is that you're non-affiliated, right? You write the book on behalf of just the business of the network marketing model, not on behalf. I mean, I think you don't really mention it other than you know, just to say what you've done, but I love that you're about the model and about really giving women, not women, women, men, anyone, right? The idea of that, the perception that we have might not be truly correct and that there is a lot of opportunity in this business. So how did you go from even just starting in the network modeling or network marketing business to not only maybe having success, but to getting to the point of saying, we need a book out there?
Well, I think because my mom did such a 180, I mean, overnight, it really was within 20 minutes. I don't even know how else. It was dramatic. And imagine someone like losing 20 pounds right in front of you. And you're like, what did you just eat? I want some of that. But basically, I think we just started sharing our story because I think you can either relate to the dreamer who just absolutely knows in her heart she's going to win somehow. And the skeptic who is like, I have lived longer than you and I've seen a lot more. And, you know, you don't even know what you don't know about this business. So we just started sharing our story over and over. And everyone just kept saying, you have got to get your story out. You've got to show people that whether you're this one or this one, you can see eye to eye eventually on this business model. So,
well, and we saw a need for it because once I, even though I got it and I thought I was going to be able to get everyone else to see exactly what I saw, I started seeing everybody acting the way I used to act.
Karma.
And I'm like, wait, no, it's me. It's okay.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I knew it was this thing that there needed to be clarity about this. There needed to be a resource that was not, you know, somebody trying to get you into their business. Just understand network marketing, understand the business model. And because we were so passionate about it, you know, everybody encouraged us to write a book and we're like, we can't write a book. We don't want to write a book. And then somebody said, you can hire a ghostwriter. You know, that, you know, you can start with that. And so that got us started on the path and, you know, it actually came to fruition.
And I do think it's really hard for people to stay neutral. And I feel like we can seriously stay neutral as far as we can stay neutral and not pick, you know, which company is the best one, because I think they're all good and you just have to find what's right for you. And
they're not all good, but most of them are good.
Well, and exactly, like any company or right. any business.
Right.
But also, I feel like we can see both sides of those who are doing it and those who are not doing it. So I feel like we really can relate to all people, whether you're doing this, not doing this, whichever company you've chosen. So I think that helps in telling your story because we're not all about, well, you have to join my team. If you're going to hear about network marketing, I'm going to want to, you know, get you on my team. And I think that's hard for people. I think once you have fallen in love with a product, you don't even know how you sound anymore. You officially drink the Kool-Aid and it's hard to undrink the Kool-Aid. We somehow can do that. We can drink the Kool-Aid and still have no Kool-Aid in our system. I don't know.
Well, and the truth is, it is, most people think it's their company. It's their company that is the answer. I believe network marketing is the answer. I believe that, you know, find the right company for yes. you, but I believe that this business model is the answer. It yes. is the best kept secret way to plan your work around your life instead of your life around your work and actually have a quality life and not have to give up the income, you know, so.
Yeah. So you talk a little bit about some of the company or many of the companies are great. There's some to watch out for. I mean, obviously, Janine, you had that reaction at first because you had heard story. And I think that a lot of us and our listeners who are at home think, gosh, I love that idea. I can have flexibility, thinking maybe transitioning out of their job so they can have more time with the family. What are some of the things that they should look for if they've been intrigued by a product or a company that can protect them from making that leap?
Great question. We wrote the second book, Does the Shoe Fit, to answer those kinds of questions. What happened was after people read the Flip Flop CEO, they get over the fact that, you know, network marketing is bad. They get that, oh my gosh, this makes a lot of sense. But then you have these questions. What's next? How do I pick a company? Would I be good at this? This is my background. Do these skills transfer? And so Does the Shoe Fit is really to help you decide. But basically, you know, you want, like a lot of people will say, oh my gosh, this company just started. You've got to get in now. You know, it's brand new. Get in on the ground floor. That is the opposite of what you want to do. I mean, to be honest, this network marketing is like other businesses. In the very beginning, companies can fail. And, you know, they can get bought out by another company, whatever. So really, you know, you want to look at, first of all, you want to look at something that you authentically believe in, that you would be using with or without being compensated for it. And that's, you know, like, that's the very first thing. And I think that's kind of, people don't stop and think about that. You don't want to be, you're not getting paid to represent something just to trick people to get into this. This is really just getting paid for word of mouth advertising. You know, if we found a great place to get our hair done or buy a pair of jeans, we'd want to tell our friends about it. You couldn't stop us from telling our friends about it. That's what this business is about. That's what you have the opportunity to do, but you get paid for it.
There's so many questions. I mean, I think, you know, some of it is, I mean, you talked about, Lori, that, you know, you have a degree in marketing. So if someone's like, I don't like to talk to my next door neighbor, you know, I'm afraid to talk to anybody. You know, how about people of different personalities? And do you feel, because you had said, Janine, that you think it's, you know, it's great for anybody. You believe in this business for everybody. Do you believe everybody has the potential to be successful? And part two of that question is, you know, do you believe that there's how much of a time commitment? And I think that answer can probably vary by a lot. There's people that do it probably via social media solely, and there's people that do it live, and there's so many different ways to do it. But I guess I'll turn that to you and just say, how, you know, is there a way, a right and a wrong way to do it? And how does someone who maybe is holding down a full-time job and kids and everything else going on who wants to transition, how much time would you have to invest?
Well, and I think that is one misconception, is that, you know, so one of my thousands of things I did wrong was quit my jobs and then do network marketing. when you're 24 and telling your friends that you just quit your job and you're now doing this. And by the way, I wasn't doing it like full time. I was still doing it very part time. So you can build a great business very, very part time. Not some of the time, but part time. And like, so I was about to say, it's more about consistency than being constant. It's not constant work, but it's consistent work. So however you can fit that in. But it's not like you have to choose your career or, you know, network marketing. It's absolutely, I think, a smart way to go is to start building that while you're doing what you're already doing. And so I wish, if I could go back, I really do live with no regret, but if I could go back, I would have found something that I could do every day that wouldn't make me cry every Sunday, because I was to the point where I was like, I can't do any of this. But if I found something to do consistently as a job and then build this, because I just think that would have been a better example for the people around me, because they then thought, oh, well, I have to quit my job to be able to even pursue this. So when I got to the top of my company, everyone was like, of course you did. You quit your job to do it. And I was like, oh my gosh, no, like that could not have been further from the truth, but it looked like that. So I do think perception is reality.
So yes. Well, and I think that one of the challenges is that a lot of people put network marketing in this category that combines direct sales and network marketing. That's something that's talked about and Does the Shoe Fit as well. So a lot of people think network marketing and they think of a part-time job. So when you think about how much time does it take, and that's the way a lot of people, they get into it and that's what they start doing. They have this little part of their house that they set up for their shop, and that's really direct sales. Mm-hmm. If you are doing this business to earn a serious income and to earn residual income, network marketing is the way to go. And that is a commute time business. I mean, this business can be done. And I was thinking about Kim, you could talk about
what. So my second of the three jobs, I had a boss that was very successful, amazing. Well, come then find out a few years later, we crossed paths and she ended up joining my business. And oh my gosh, she's doing very well. And she was building it alongside her very, very corporate, full-time. I think, did she say like 80 hours a week? Something crazy.
She traveled all the time. She was making a lot of money. And she's a perfect example of someone. I mean, that's why I love speaking to this audience. Because, you know, if you're successful in what you're already doing, you can be so successful in this business. You apply the same skills. But what happens is we get into it. A lot of times we come in the back door with this business. Somebody drags us in. We don't even know what we're doing. You know, if you went out and bought a franchise or spent, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on a business, or if you two decided to open up some kind of cute boutique or something, you would treat it differently. You would know what you're doing. You would, you know, most people, it's like a whole different game. And and most people don't know what the rules are. They don't know how to get from point A to point B. They don't understand it. I didn't understand it.
You might choose who you're going into business with a little bit more carefully. And it does seem like it just kind of is like, oh, my friend invited me to this party. And then I was introduced to this product. And now you're questioning, should I do this? Well, I would take a step back and really be more proactive about the whole thing and do your due diligence. I hate to say this for anyone's friend's sake, but really, I mean, this is your future. So you really do need to pay attention to, I think there's a few things you need to look at. And one is, who is sponsoring you? And do you have a good relationship? Is this someone you want to follow? Do you have different strengths and weaknesses? Because I feel like
that's a huge benefit of this business is you can pick somebody that has a different work style that you do or different strength.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, it would be so fun when we were doing this in the beginning because we could just go to coffee with people. And I'm going to talk about one thing and Lori's going to talk about fun. I didn't even have fun in my vocabulary. I didn't know how to spell fun.
I was like, work, yuck.
So it was perfect. Cool. Yeah. Somebody that has different strengths and is different than you are. You get to partner and do life with somebody that you want to do life with. I mean, it's like you guys are doing that now and you don't work in the same company. And so, you know, you couldn't offer each other a position in your company. You couldn't say, hey, come, you're going to make as much money or more than I do. Come work for my company. But with this, you can do that. You get to pick the people that you work with.
Yep.
So let me ask you, because I've found my way into a couple of MLM companies just because I loved the product and I wanted to get the discount and I really wasn't, thinking that I was going to go at it 100%, although it's always very intriguing to me. But the thought of having like the parties and doing all that at that time was just like, there's no way, especially because I have, you know, had a full-time job. But now with social media, how has that changed how people are able to attack their businesses, or is that still very important? I mean, it sounds like that one-on-one, whether it's the coffee or the party or whatever, is still important, but how has that changed?
We don't do parties. That was the first, I mean, and this was 17 years ago. Is that how long?
Yeah, I think that was
from day one, you didn't do parties. That's
good. Yeah, I said, she read the book and she was like, I can do this, but I'm not doing a party.
Because parties were not authentic to me. Parties were, you know, you get invited over to a party, you're driving home on a Thursday night, you promised your friend you'd go to this thing, you don't want to go, and you're going to buy something out of obligation. You don't want, you know, nothing about that was anything I wanted to do. I didn't want to make my friends feel like they were buying, it was out of pity or that they were doing me a favor. So that just didn't work. And we decided we weren't going to do that a long time ago. We were kind of the black sheep because everybody else was doing parties, but we proved that you do not have to.
I do think it is good to really notice what the pay plan of the company. So I started with who's sponsoring you? Do you have a good relationship? Also, really look at the pay plan. I mean, it will be obvious if it's really super party plan, or if there is flexibility. So while our company seemed very party plan, I looked at the pay plan. And I was like, nowhere does it say you have to have a party. Okay. So I guess we can really do this how we want to do this. And so we built it our way. And it turned out that the compensation was not mandatory to do parties. So we got compensated very well for the way we did it. So I think really paying attention, really looking at the compensation plan, how it works, what, because there are companies where you, I think you really do have to do parties.
The reward is not for mentoring and coaching and helping empower other people. It's really more for how many products are you going to sell?
And it can't, it has to come from elsewhere and it's a high volume. So again, I really, and it says that in the book too, it really walks you through the things to look at, to just notice before you make a decision, because that to me is the difference between really going for something and being successful and hitting the jackpot or realizing, wow, this was not a good fit for me. And it matters. I really do think you've got to find in the right culture. I just feel like there's so many things to pay attention to. And so it's okay to not listen to the hype of you've got to get in now. And I've got so-and-so going under me and I can put them under you. And I just would take a step back from all of that. And just you look at for your life, does this product make sense for me? Does this company feel good to me? Does the compensation plan make sense for my lifestyle and what I have time for, what I have interest in? Because again, I don't like obligating friends either. I've got kids. I don't want everyone to just see me coming and just think, oh my gosh, you know, look away.
And if I could add, because I think what you're saying is so brilliant. And Lori was really good. I mean, she had that year that I would not listen to her. She studied the compensation plan. I call her the money magnet. She is a girl who, I mean, she's got, that's the part she's so good at that I'm not. And so it really is, what I was going to say is, she's saying, study the compensation plan, look at it. The challenge is when you're brand new, what do you look at? What are you looking for? And so I would just add to that, there's people, even if the person that you're talking to doesn't know, even if they're brand new or if they're not a numbers person, there's somebody around them that does know. And so, really ask. I mean, that's the thing that's so cool about this business, and it's talked about a lot in Does the Shoe Fit. It's really like a family, and it's like you have the mom and the grandmother and the great grandmother. And so there are other people to help you, not just the person that sponsored you. And so somebody will be able to answer questions. I was thinking as you were saying that, I'd love that, but what would I ask?
Yeah. Totally. And I want to clarify before someone is like, my friend who I love and adore, and I love the product, I love the business plan, I love all of that, but she's not super successful yet. Should I go with someone who's super successful? And no, I mean, I really do think go with someone you have a good relationship with or have a good working relationship. Somehow that feels good. It doesn't have to be, this person is the top of their company. That doesn't necessarily guarantee that you are going to have a great connection. Mm-hmm. So I think that matters. I mean, I think that's huge. Maybe that's just for me, but
it's important to say that, because I think a lot of people think you have to be sponsored by somebody that's successful. And you can get started at the same time with your friend. And it was so cool for Lori and I. We did it together. We learned together. We did, and it really was fun and it worked because we were different and appealed to different people as we were talking.
So something that just struck me with both of you, Lori, you said it in the beginning when you were kind of talking about for you, you said, I decided it was so crystal clear. Like you just had this kind of epiphany. And even Janine, even though it took you longer, it was like the same type of transformation for you. You read the book, you were like, boom, this is what I want to do. You had that switch. And how important is that, right? Like really, truly deciding. And I mean, I think that's true kind of in life, right? Like in any goal, anything you want to go after, we talk about deciding and what's your why. And it just started making me think, the importance of that, right? And how important that might be in the success of somebody who goes down this avenue. But it also made me think about personal development and how important, I mean, I think that is something that is such a big part of network marketing. And maybe you can touch on that too, and how and why that is such an important part.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's so important because you are going to be going against the flow. You are going against what everybody else thinks is the right path. And everybody else thinks this is the way to do life. And you are all of a sudden going to be going in the opposite direction as everyone else. And it takes, you know, we had each other, which was nice. But it's tough. And I think you have to become a different person to have what you've never had before. And there are just so many things. For me, I was a very much an independent worker in corporate America. I knew how to do my job, but I didn't know how to empower other people. I didn't know how to be a leader. And there were so many things I had to learn. And personal development, I mean, most people are paying money for the things that you get for free in this business, because you have to, you know, instead of going to a therapist and spending, you know, however much an hour to become a better version of yourself, it's part of what we do. It's part of the, you know, the weekly calls that are available and all the different resources that are available, because you have to become a better version of yourself to get over your ego, to get over, you know, you're giving up that attachment to the status of, you know, my identity was my job for a long time. And, you know, you have to give that up. But I mean, I guess you don't have to give it up, but it changes. It just seems like there are two different worlds. And I talk about it a lot in Does the Shoe Fit? It's like the book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. I mean, men and women are very different. And network marketing is very different than corporate America or traditional 9-to-5 jobs. And so you really do have to learn to be different to excel in that arena. Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking, you can't, I don't know, there's a line in a movie that I'm thinking of, and it's with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston, and she's in the kitchen, and she's like, I want to do the dishes. And he's like, I just don't want to do the dishes. And she's like, I want to do the dishes. And I'm thinking, that's how it is in network marketing. Like, you can't want someone to want it, they have to want it. And that's the light bulb. That's the switch. I was crystal clear because I had gone through 3 different jobs and I knew those were not for me. This was for me. This is what I was made for. And same with my mom. Like, I couldn't tell her. There was nothing I could say. I had tried it all. I had tried other people to say it for me. I had tried to expose her to things. I had tried to have her use the products, which she refused to do. There was nothing I could do to get through to her until she was ready. So I kind of feel like you're barking up the wrong tree if you just keep hounding someone to want to do the dishes. They're not going to want, like, until he wants to do the dishes, he's not going to want to do the dishes. He'll do them. And I feel like you can really surround yourself with a team of people who they'll do what you're saying, but until they want to do it, there's nothing like it. You're going to be dragging people all day long. That's not fun. That's draining for everyone.
Yeah, and that takes the high pressure, where you're thinking that, oh no, you're going to have to high pressure, you know, sell these people in order to do it, where no, if they don't want to do the dishes, I'm not going to make them do the dishes. So, yeah. And you don't waste your time, obviously, in that area. I'm kind of curious. I think that our listeners are probably, their interests are piqued. Laura, you said you quit your job. Janine, did you quit and go full on, or were you in a transition? And what was that like? And at what point did you say, okay, I can make this work?
My job had, the company that I had worked for was sold. And that was another thing. I realized that I had poured my heart and soul into this company. A lot of people thought I was the owner of the company. Mm-hmm. And in an instant, it was gone. I had nothing to show for my 10 years of hard work. And so I was at a kind of, and then my grandmother came to live. I was helping take care of her. So it's kind of, and then she passed away. So I was kind of at this place where I was looking for something to do. Ironically, I'm searching for something to do. Lori's telling me this, and I'm like, no way. Because a lot of times we think what we're looking for looks a certain way, and we think it doesn't look like this. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I was in a good place. And then I had to see this, that I could see myself doing this, because I could not see myself doing the things that I saw other people doing. So, that's important too. And I think, but you really did nail it, Heather, with saying it's about your belief. I mean, and it is about your why. It's about, you've got to believe in it, because if you don't, we always say belief has a sound. And if you don't have it, people are going to hear that. So you just should not even be wasting your time, because it's just not going to work.
I think it's so exciting. I think part of, I'll go back to kind of the perceptions that people have. And I think the perceptions that people have is that nobody really makes it, right? Like nobody really can supplement or take away their job. Like it might be a little nice, little extra something, but my gosh, to get to that point where you could really quit your job and make up for what, you could be doing in a full-time company. And so maybe, I don't know if you have any kind of percentages or hope, but just to tell people, like, what would that time commitment look like and how possible is it for someone to truly be able to, make a living doing this?
It's 100% possible. And me and my analogies, and I have to relate it to, but I always think this is like a marathon, because to me, when you look at people who are running marathons, some of them are the obvious ones, right? They are just natural born marathon runners. And then you see people who are blowing you away. Like, how is that person, or the one with one leg, or the one who is has more weight than you would think would be possible to carry on? I mean, but here's what I love about it. There is no one on this earth that could tell you can't run the marathon. Who has to tell you? Who decides who runs the marathon? You do. And that kind of conviction and clarity and focus is what you need. So I'm not even here to say, oh, that person's going to make it in network marketing and that person's not, because who am I to say? I mean, where there's a will, there's a way. And anybody can do this. Not everybody will, and not everybody should if they're in it for the wrong reasons, but absolutely anybody can if they have it in them to do it. So, oh my gosh, and the sky is the limit. You can absolutely decide what kind of dent you're going to leave in this world. So
when you read the stories in the book, in the Flip Flop CEO, and then in Destiny Shoot Fit, we do career comparisons. So we have people that were a nurse or an attorney or a flight attendant compare their job to network marketing. But when you look at the stories, oh my gosh, truly, there are people that were very successful, attorneys or doctors that are now doing network marketing. But there's also the stories of the people that were, oh my gosh, living in a trailer, had everything, taken away from them. And
that's the marathon. But you can't decide who's going to do this. I mean, really, people will surprise you. The people that you think, oh my gosh, no brainer, they are going to the top. And somehow they're not at the top. Yeah. And then the people who you're like, and then she has this light in her, this fire that you had no idea could burn so bright. She's at the top. And some other thing about the top, I just want to say, I feel like people only, I don't know if it's, 100,000 a year that makes you successful or what that, level is, but I really do think whatever it is for you to supplement or be a millionaire. I mean, I really do feel like there's everything in between. And a lot of people will say, surprisingly, they'll be like, well, I just did this to cover my car payment, so my husband, didn't have that on his shoulders or whatever. And then it turned into a $1 million business. So I feel like really it's not, to me, it's not predictable. So maybe that seems like it's only if you make it, but it's not that. I think it's, you just have no idea who's going to make it. They probably have it in them. You just never saw it. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, yeah. I love the analogy of the marathon, not only because that's where Heather and I met training for marathon, but I think that your story, Lori, you coming out of college, and Janine, you were in a transition. And I think we talked earlier a little bit about how I have a lot of friends that decided to stay at home, and now their kids are older and they're looking for a change, and corporate America just doesn't feel right. And then you have those friends that are successful, and all of a sudden their husbands join them in the mm-hmm. business. So it just really does seem like there isn't a typical, like you feel like a lot of positions, there's a typical salesperson, there's a typical, mm-hmm. you know, if you're going to go in accounting, but for this, so many different types of people. And why do you think that is? Is it just because there's more of a relationship on, or do they just make it their own so they attack it differently?
I think it is that thing that we've been talking about, is you've got to say, I can do this. Yeah. The minute you get whatever thing it is, whatever conversation, whatever book, whatever, when you go, oh my gosh, I can do this, nothing can stop you. One of the things, though, you mentioned that I just wanted to touch upon is the percentages. What are the percentages of people that do well? Oh my gosh, that is my huge pet peeve, because it's one of the most,
sorry,
it's one of the biggest misconceptions, and it's perpetuated by the media. Guess how the media gets paid? They get paid by advertising, through advertising. This is a business that is this is word of mouth advertising. You can't buy word of mouth advertising. There's so many things that are different about this than, and so the media wants to keep perpetuating these myths. And it, you know, if you looked at your company, a company that you work for, how many people make the big money and how many people make a lot less than that? I mean, it's the way the world is. There are some people that rise to the top and some people but everybody's goals aren't the same. You know, some people want to be making $100,000 a month. Some people want to be making $100,000 a year. Some people want to be making $12,000 a year. We're not all the same. And a lot of people, I think it was, Beverly, I think you mentioned that you really like the products and maybe you wanted to get a discount on the products. So a lot of times people will join as a consultant or a rep just because they get a bigger discount. Well, a lot of people do that, but guess what? Those people are skewed. They skew the numbers. All of a sudden now you're counted as somebody that maybe is trying to do the business and you're really not. So it's really a very hard thing to measure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but it's no different than life. It's no different than running a marathon, that some people are going to, that have the great body, are going to excel, and other people that look like they could do it can't run, you know, half a block. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I like to talk about a gym analogy, gym like where you work out. You know, look at how many people that join a gym, but look at how many people actually get in shape at the gym compared to the percentages that join. You know, so are you going to blame the gym because people aren't in shape that join? Yeah. It takes applying yourself, and everybody's going to apply themselves differently, and everybody has different goals. So the percentages are very misleading.
She's done.
That was great.
That was.
So I just think that it is such, I mean, our listeners are a lot of moms, some, you know, working full-time outside the house, some working in the house, really finding your passion. And I really hear that from both of you, that really find something that you really love, and then you'll know, like you'll be in it to win it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that. And I think it's been so inspiring, because I think there's so many things out there. And I mean, I would be shocked if there's somebody out there that hasn't at least purchased or bought or been, you know, had some sort of experience with an MLM company. But I do think it's, you know, I think you've given so much great info. I love, again, the fact that you kind of step away from an affiliation necessarily of it, and just talking about the potential that people have. And that if you're one of those people that are feeling stuck in your career and you feel like, you know, oh gosh, well, I've already invested all these years in my life or in this company or my degree or whatever, and you just feel like you have no choices, that there is. There's a lot of opportunity out there. And I love it. I love your books. I would definitely recommend that everyone check them out, because, by the way, I think they're great motivating books anyway, and just learning about it. So again, they were the Flip-Flop CEO and Does the Shoe Fit? So highly recommend that.
Yeah, and it's so great because I think that, you know, even though you know it was your daughter or a friend that's telling you about this, to have an outside resource to be able to go to, like your books, where you can just say, okay, I want to be educated enough to ask the right questions, and then I'll feel comfortable. So tell us, how do our listeners find you, and how do they find your book?
So they can get the books either via Amazon. And the Flip-Flop CEO is available in Audible and Kindle and soft copy. And then Does the Shoe Fit is Kindle and the book, not Audible yet. So those are available via Amazon, but you can also order them through our website, and that's theflipflopceo.com.
Okay, great. We'll put that in our show notes as well, so everyone has it.
So we want to ask you the question that we ask all of our guests, and that is, what does being brave mean to you?
And you can say the one that we both love.
I know. We came together and I said, what does being brave mean to you? And we both, sometimes we come up with the exact same answers.
Sometimes we share a brain and others.
We're very similar. We kind of have the same vibe going on. Yeah.
But it really is, I think, listen to your own heart above all other voices and be willing to trust yourself. You know, Lori is my hero. That'll make me start crying if I start talking about it. But I mean, she did trust her own voice. And even when I was telling her that she was crazy, and she stuck with what she saw and felt. And it takes being brave to do that.
And I think, so that, because if anyone ever asks me, what is it for you? And I say, listen to your heart above all other voices. That would be on my grave, because that is what I was born believing. And, but I also think to really be brave is to do something even though you have no idea how it's going to end up. You have no idea, but you know what? We don't have guarantees in life. We don't know, but to do it anyway, because for the sake of your heart saying to do something, and again, you will know. I really do think you will know. And if you don't know, or if it's not feeling like the right thing, trust that too. Don't let your head talk you into it, or it's because, or there's fear and time is running out and you have to get sponsored. Don't listen to any of that. That's not your heart talking. Your heart will absolutely shine when it's the right thing for you. So, and don't necessarily wait for that. Like, you deserve to go explore, go look into something. If this is kind of bubbling up inside you, it's okay to not know what it's going to look like. It's okay if it looks completely opposite of what you thought it was supposed to look like, but just trust yourself above anything else. Not your best friend's voice, not your kid's voice, not your husband's voice, your voice, because it really does know your way for you.
I love it.
So inspirational, you guys. Thank you so much. You guys are such a great light. I mean, there's just such a light about you guys, and it's been so fun. So thank you guys both for taking the time. It's been a true pleasure to talk with you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.